Robert Hanson, a killer in Anchorage, he kept his charms, or he kept his tokens that he took off his victims in his house, in a very obvious place that would have been very easy.
Yeah, easy evidence.
Yeah, easy evidence to you know, if the cops came, they'd see this is a guy who's doing it. But they a lot of them do it, and it's, let's see, I'm trying to fish.
Well, while you're doing that, let me ask you a question. Remember Richard Speck, the mass murderer?
Oh, I hated that guy.
All right. So he kills 8 nurses in 1966.
Right.
Mass murder. He does it all in one time. What's the difference between that and a serial killer? I mean, had he not been caught, would he have done this over and over and over again?
No, I don't.
Serial killers just kill one person at a time, right?
Yeah, no, I don't think that. I don't think Speck would have done that. He just was. It was a crime of opportunity, and he was. You know, you try to understand people in life and what makes them go, but he's one guy I couldn't really relate to at all. And
he's dead now, thank God.
And he's caught. Yeah, he said. I remember calling up Joliet Prison out there, and I said, I was doing a book, and I said, well, what's the status respect to one of the officers there? And he says, well, he's in here, and he says he's going to be in here a while. I says, well, when will he get out? He says, well, with good behavior in 2098, you know. I mean, he and he turned into a, he had injections in his chest and all that kind of stuff. He was a whack job. But if you look at his background, you see that he was abused when he was a kid by
his mother, right?
By his mother, yeah. And mostly mothers, you know. I was just thinking, my mind went blank before, which is, you know, a malady as you get older. And I was thinking, like, David Parker Ray, who Vernon Gebeth, who was one of the top, maybe the top homicide investigator, in my view, in America. He's been to 8,000 death investigations. He thought that Ray was is the worst serial killer he ever came across. But Ray was abused, of course, when he was a kid. He was, you know, what happens to these guys? They get discarded by the mother. And then there's just this other things that can happen, like the profound cruelty. But the message is beamed home that you're not worth anything, that you're a piece of garbage, you belong in the garbage pail, and that maybe one day we'll put them in there, we'll put you in there. And this is stuff percolates in their unconscious all the time. And, you know, Dennis Rader, you know, the BTK killer.
Right, the one who tricked his family, right?
Yeah.
Even his family was baffled by that one, weren't they?
Yeah, well, he was a high-ranking official in, I think, of the Methodist Church in Topeka there. And he, listen to this, he's not a dumb guy. He sends the cops, the local Topeka cops, a note, and he says, now, I would be willing to communicate with you on the computer, but if I do, you would have to promise me not to use anything on the computer computer material that to track who I am and where I am. You know?
Huh.
And they send a message back to him. Oh, no problem.
You know? Yeah.
No problem.
They couldn't wait.
No, they could wait, and that's how they caught him. He was caught that way. You know, they sent something. They identified that their computer experts come in, and that was it. You know, and. Let's see, I'm just trying to think now. John Wayne Gacy, he had his burial plot for his victims
under his house.
Under his house, yeah. And that's right, in a crawl space. And, you know, this is not exactly smelling like tulips in the spring, you know. And he had people coming in the house wondering what the smell was. And when finally he committed some infraction or something, and the cops came to his house, and of course one of the cops recognized the smell immediately, you know, as a deceased people, you know, and then they got him, you know. But you said, I'm just gonna, they all set up most of them that I've come across, they all set up, most of them set up ways to lead the cops to them, you know. And why is the question? Is it guilt, deep down guilt? And that's the only thing I can figure.
You know, I was looking for a couple others that weren't in here, like Ed Gein and Albert DeSalvo, the Boston Strangler.
Oh yeah, sure.
They go on and on forever. I mean, how many books of serial killers could you write? It's endless, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Well, Ed Gein was, he was. By the way, he was the.
He was a pig farmer, wasn't he?
That's right. I was Wisconsin. Yeah, and he. Well, I'm not going to go into this all this stuff, but he used the materials from. He was a grave robber, you know. And anyway, but
he would cut off their noses and wear them and everything. He was whacked out.
Yeah, and their chests and everything. But he was a guy who was the fictional. He was a real life guy who was that Hitchcock makes. Was it Robert Bloch based his novel Psycho on?
Oh, really? Was it Gein?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It was Gein, yeah. And he didn't actually. They said he only killed a few people, you know, but he spent his whole life then in a mental institution, Mendota, I think it was, out there in Wisconsin.
Is he dead now?
Oh, yeah, sure, he's dead.
Okay.
He lived a long life, though. You know, he lived a pretty long life. And DeSalvo, now they bring up maybe DeSalvo wasn't the killer.
Tony Curtis played him in a movie, didn't he?
He did a great job.
Yeah, he did.
He did a terrific job. Yeah, Tony Curtis played him, and he ultimately was murdered in prison himself. You know,
as Jeffrey Dahmer was too, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. They said that they asked Bailey, F. Lee Bailey, his lawyer, who was a great lawyer, you know, and they asked him, you know, whether he thought he was the killer. You know, he laughed. He said, "Of course he is." You know.
Yeah.
They had a theory there that he wasn't, you know. But they didn't have hard evidence. Like you're talking about Sirhan, with bullets, and that's a whole different. They had no evidence; it was just theory. You know?
Well, with all these serial killers, I mean, how long is their longest, efforts before they finally get caught? Years?
It's years. You know, the thing that puzzles me. And contrary to popular belief, I don't know everything, you know. But the thing that puzzles me, George, is that why sometimes they go off the scene for years, like the BTK killer.
And then they pop back in again.
They pop back in. He was out of the game for like 10 years, you know.
Do they actually try to stop on purpose?
I don't think so. No, they can't stop.
Or they do it because they're afraid they're going to get caught, you know.
I just don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to that. I can't see any evidence. I can't see anything that satisfies me, that gives me a satisfactory answer.